children. Some of you have adopted children, foster children. Some of you are mom to the neighbor's children, and so forth and so on. So thank you, moms, for all that you do. I also would like to make the announcement this morning that Precious Life, which is a ministry in the Altoona area, and they help pregnant moms make great choices in life, and they help them through their pregnancy and maybe on into adoption. Normally, we would be giving you baby bottles today to save your change from Mother's Day to Father's Day to help support that ministry. Obviously, because of the situations that we're in, we don't have those baby bottles, but I would encourage you to start saving change. Change fits in peanut butter containers and styrofoam cups. You start saving your change anyway, and if we get those bottles or if we get back inside between now and Father's Day, we'll make sure you get some of those. But I would encourage us to start saving our change here on this Mother's Day for Precious Life. Also this morning, we have Elijah Shade is in one of those vehicles in that range right over there. Elijah in that one, he turned 14 today. So Elijah, happy birthday to you. And right down just the other side of the red car, between the two red cars here, we have a young newlywed couple that's been married only 45 years. So Bill and Mona, congratulations to you. So I was thinking 36 was a good accomplishment, and I think it is, but 45. Thank you for putting up with Bill, Mona, for all those years, and looking for more great years ahead of you guys. And Elijah, baseball will open up, I think, this summer, so smile this morning. You'll be able to play baseball this summer, I believe. So let me pray this morning, and then we're going to unleash God's word among us, and then we're going to go and celebrate some time with our moms this afternoon. So, Father God, thank you for this day, and thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for how you poured out on us. Thank you for a sunshiny day. Lord, thank you for a bright sunshine day. Lord, just I know that we need the rains, and I don't know if we needed the snow yesterday, but thank you for that as well. But, Lord, thank you for the rains. Thank you for the sunshine. And, Lord, as that is nourishing the ground and as it makes things grow. And I was going to pray a blessing on our farmers. And, Lord, they're struggling to get the crops in the ground. Lord, I just pray that the growing season goes well. Bless the growing season this year. And, Father, may the farmers really realize that the hand of God is working among them. Father, we're here now for a few moments together. We're here just to say thank you to you and thank you for allowing us and inviting us to join you here this morning. We don't invite you to join us. You've invited us to join you. So we join you here this morning for these moments together. And Father, I pray that you are honored and you are glorified. And the name of Jesus is exalted here today. Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts and our minds and our wills. Move us closer to the Father. May we listen, Father, to the Spirit this morning. May we not grieve the Spirit this morning. May we not resist the Spirit this morning. Spirit, I ask that you would settle on all of us. And Father, that you would meet us in each car this morning. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified. The name of Jesus would be exalted, and the Spirit would lead us, and we would take the steps with the Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The phrase hold on is a phrase that the last couple of weeks I've come across that phrase in the Bible, and it just started to work and think about that phrase, hold on. And maybe you think I'm going to go a certain direction today with that, and maybe you're right or maybe you're not, I don't know, but hold on. Hold on is the, and I want to know that hold on can mean three different things. Hold on means to persevere. Hold on, persevere. Hold on can mean wait, be patient. And hold on can mean hang on to, grasp, hang on to it. So hold on can mean three different things. Hold on can mean hang in there, be patient, and cling to or hang on to. And as I think about those, that phrase, and I think about hunting, and I think about driving and going to my hunting spot up north, and behind our barn we would climb up the mountainside. And the mountain was more of an incline than you could drive a tractor up. It was very much of a mountain. It was an incline. And I know that I would go halfway up the mountain, and I would think, hold on, I'm getting there. And that would mean to persevere, to hold up. Come on, hang in there. You can do this. Hang in there. You can get up this mountain. Hang in there. You can take another step. Hang in there. If somebody was with me or a young child was with me, a young hunter, hang in there. Hold on. We're almost there. Hold on. We're almost there. And then when we get into our tree stand or into our blind or whatever, then you would see the turkey or the deer coming, and you would say, hold on. Hold on. Be patient. We can see him coming through the woods. Hold on, be patient. Hold on, we're getting there. Hold on, be patient. And then you would take your gun or your bow or whatever you were hunting with, and you would say, okay, hold on to your gun. Grasp it. Hold on means three different things. Hold on means to persevere. Hold on means to be patient. Hold on means to grasp in your hands, to literally grasp it in your hands. In John 8, we see Jesus making of that statement to his disciples. And I pick it up this morning in John 8. Just let me just introduce that statement by reading John 8, verses 12 and 13 this morning. It's on your handout. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. And Jesus is trying to express this powerful thing to his people that are listening, that have traveled to listen to Jesus. And he says, I am the light of the world. If you follow after me, you'll never walk in darkness. And all of a sudden, the religious people of the day got offended with that. And they said, listen, you're here on your own testimony. You need more people to verify that you're the light of the world. And they start to have this interaction with Jesus, which takes the rest of chapter 8 of John 8. In 50 or 60 verses, we see the Pharisees and Jesus back and forth. And the Pharisees are trying to disprove Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus, with his heart hanging out and on his sleeve, is trying to convince them, I'm the light of the world. I really am. And I'm here that you can walk in the light, and that you can quit walking in darkness. I want you to walk in the light. And they keep coming at him and coming at him and coming at him. And in his grace and his mercy, he continues to have this conversation with them. And then pick it up again in verse 28, it says this. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak only what the Father has taught me. He said, you're going to know that this is going to be verified to you. When I am lifted up, when you lift me up, when you put me on the cross, you're going to know that I'm truthful what I'm saying here. And he continues to have this interaction with them. And you can see the heart of Jesus just wanting to convince his crowd that he is the light of the world. And verse 29 says, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And he's talking about God the Father there. And again, he's having this conversation with the Pharisees and those that have gathered to listen, to know more about Jesus. So he's got the combatants there. He's got those that are working against him. And then he's got those that are hungry for knowing some truth. And they're all in this same environment. And Jesus is talking with them all at the same time. Can you imagine the chaos that could be going on there? And the looks and the daggers coming from the religious people, and the hunger coming from those that have traveled to know more about Jesus. And Jesus in the middle, trying to trying to convince the religious people and also invite those that have traveled so far to see and to hear who he is. In verses 30 and 32 of chapter 8 of John, he said, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. Even in these moments of great turmoil, even in these moments of argument, these moments of two different sides going at it with Jesus in the middle, even in these moments, there were people that were coming to Jesus. There were people that were being lifted, that was exalting Jesus, that was lifting Jesus up, that was believing in Jesus. And Jesus knew that as he was speaking, there were those that were putting their faith in him. There were those that were putting their faith in him. In the middle of all, he still knew. He knew that the Pharisees were doing their arguing. He knew, and his heart was going out to them. But he knew something. When somebody would believe, and I could just feel Jesus knowing that, all right, that person just believed in me. I think he's going around the room, and he's starting to see that people are grabbing on, and people are believing that he is the light of the world, and they're tired of walking in darkness. And their spirit is saying, you can trust this guy. You can trust this Jesus. And they were putting their faith in Christ. And continuing in verse 30 and 32, he says this, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said this, if you hold to my teaching. Right in the middle of perhaps the greatest storm that's going on at that time. Right in the middle of the arguments. Jesus, in this parenthetical, Jesus, in this moment, he takes this moment and he reaches out to those that have believed in him. Right there in the middle of all that turmoil, he reached out to them and he says, if you hold to my teaching. I know what the world is saying right now. I know how the world is being argumentative. I know how the religious people don't have it all together yet. I know that. I know what's going on, but I'm not talking to the world right now. I'm not talking to the religious people right now. Right now, I'm talking to you that just believed in me. And he said, you want to hold on to my teaching. You want to persevere. You want to be patient. And you want to grasp it. You want to hold on to my teaching. Hold on to my teaching, he says. You are really my disciples. If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, we read that last verse, and we read it as a separate from all this that's going on. And it's a powerful, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But when I put it back in context of what Jesus is doing here, what's going on right here, the brand new believers that are coming to Christ at this very moment, and Jesus looks at them and says, hold on. If you hold on to my teaching, you're going to be able to follow me. You're going to be able to be my disciple. If you hold on to my teaching, you need to hold on to my teaching. You need to grasp it in your hand. You need to be patient. You need to persevere with it. If you are my disciples, if you're going to follow me, you've got to hold on to my teaching. You got to remain. And literally that word hold in the Greek means to remain, to grasp. To wait. To remain, to grasp, to wait. Don't let go of it. I don't care. Jesus is literally saying, I don't care what the religious people are saying right this moment. I don't care what the world is saying right this moment. I'm not talking to them right this moment. I'm talking to you, you that have believed in me. And you will be my disciple. You'll be able to follow after me. But you got to hold on to my teaching. Because you can't let go of my teaching and still follow after me. Because my teaching will bring you in line with me. So hold on to my teaching. Remain in my teaching. Literally grasp my teaching. I thought about this before when I was having a very challenging day. That I was going to put, man's anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. And I was just going to put that on a piece of paper, and I'm going to put it in my hand. And I'm just going to carry it around. I'm going to literally grasp God's word. Because before I open my hand, or before I have to, I want to know that that word is there. I want that word to guide me in that day, in that moment. I want His word. I want to grasp His word. I want to remain in His word. I want to wait in His word. And perhaps at times I'm confused by it. And perhaps at times I wrestle with it. And perhaps at times I feel overwhelmed by His teaching and His word. And perhaps at times I'm even a little bit irritated with it. But Jesus doesn't. He knows that. He knows at times you're going to be confused. He knows at times we're going to be irritated. He knows at times that we'll wrestle with the word. He doesn't address that right now. He just says, hold on to it. Because you will figure it out. You and I will figure it out, but you got to hold on to my truth. If you want to experience this freedom in following me and being a disciple of Jesus, you got to hold on to His truth. I can't follow Jesus and let go of His truth. There is freedom in holding on to the truth of Christ. I got to be honest. I pondered that. Hold on to my teaching. As I pondered that just in the past couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, as I labored over that statement, just that single statement, hold on to my teaching, I found myself asking God, what teaching do you want me to hold on to? And I think that the Sunday school answer is all of it. Well, thank you, Captain Obvious. There's 31,102 verses in the Bible. I want to hold on to the teachings of Christ. I want to hold on to the teachings of Jesus. But I found myself asking God, which ones? And I do know that the answer would be ultimately all of them. Because I don't want to pick and choose out of the Word of God. I want all 31,102 verses altering my life. But to be honest, I cannot absorb 31,102 verses. I cannot absorb all that truth at once. So I find myself saying, God, which ones for today? And literally, I think He has truth for the day. And sometimes if you get a verse of the day, you know that's the one. God spoke to me. And to this day, I'm hanging on to that truth. Now, do I just throw it away at the end of the day? Absolutely not. But it's that day, it's that truth that He wants you to hold on to. I have a whole gun cabinet full of guns. And when I go hunting, I hold on to one. It doesn't mean that I throw it away when I'm done. No, it goes back in the gun cabinet. And maybe next time there's another truth, another gun that I'm going to hold on to for that day or that season in life. So honestly, I found myself asking God, which ones, God? You know, You made me. You know I'm limited on what I can know and what I can do. So which ones do You want me to know? Which ones do You want me to hold on to? What truth is out of this whole pile of truth, what truth do You want me to hold on to? And when do You want me to hold on to? Do You want me to hold on to it for a day? And again, not throwing it away at the end of the day. That's not what we're saying here. But hold it close to You for this day, or for this week, or for this month, or for this season, or for this year. So I spent some time, just little, I got to be honest, just wrestling with God on that. Is it for the moment, God? And I believe that God showed me stuff for the moment. And He took me to passages of Scripture that told me the value of holding on to His truth to convince me. Hold on to that truth right now, because what I'm going to ask you to hold on to might be a little unnerving for you. But I believe that God has directed me into three different passages of Scripture. And I think that He's saying, I want you to hold on to these. Not just you. I want us to hold on to them. I want New Life to hold on to them. And I believe that this is going to be the Roman numeral 1, 2, and 3 of the teaching that's going to come from this platform or this trailer or inside if we go inside. Inside or outside, rain, snow, or sleet, or sunshine, it doesn't matter. This truth is going to go forth from this location. We are not relinquishing this ground on a Sunday morning. But I think that these three passages are for us. I think God wants us to hold on to them. I think He wants me personally to hold on to these truths, to persevere in them, to literally grasp them, to let them alter my life. This is not, just to be honest, this is not just a Sunday sermon. You will see these truths over and over and over, at least for a season. And maybe for a lifetime, I don't know. We won't let go of some of these truths. I get it. And even if they're in the gun cabinet, we switch them in and out. These will always be here. But in this season, in my life, in our life, I think they're going to alter us to where God's taken us. Call this vision casting if you want. And I'm not sure of all of them yet either. I didn't have a full understanding of all of these passages of Scripture. God says, I'll give you that as you go. You're going to learn to shoot a gun when you start holding on to a gun. You cannot learn everything about shooting until you start shooting. You can't learn everything about shooting until you hold on to the gun. And that's what he's saying. I want you to hold on to these truths. I don't know where it'll take me, God. I know that. Get it in your hand. Get it in your heart. Persevere with it. And watch what I can do and watch what I am going to do in your lives. Hold on. This is not your run-of-the-mill sermon. This is a kingdom unleashing, battle fighting, hope giving, faith walking, gospel advancing, truth proclaiming, enemy defeating, stronghold stomping, freedom releasing proclamation this morning. A proclamation that I believe, new lifers, listen, and people that have joined us for this season, and all that's in this parking lot, some of you will return to your bodies of believers when the doors open again. I couldn't want to bless you more. But He's chose you today. New lifers, He chose us today to be here. Those that are joined us in this outdoor service, He's chose you to be here today. And I believe He wants to do something through these passages of Scripture in a season of our life, a proclamation that will lead us on a journey that will alter us, our families, our community, our country, and our world. Passages that will direct me, us, and new life. Truth that will bring freedom to us and to those around us. And he says, I want this. And literally, I come out of a moment with God. And he started to unpack scriptures that he wanted to be a part of this unleashing this morning. And I woke up and I had three of them in one day. And I said, God, I think you told me there's going to be five. And I literally woke up the next morning and he said, you didn't hear five, you heard three. And so I went at it and I just said, I want to hang on to these three, God. Where are you going to take us? Where are these three passages of Scripture? What do you want us to unleash? Where do you want us to go in our lives? What do you want it to do in our lives? I'm willing to hold on to them, God, but you got to direct me. In the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the world, in the middle of the arguments that's going on. God, I gotta know that you're in this. God, I gotta know that it's you. And without a doubt, he led me to 1 John 5:11-12. And he said, this will guide you for this season. And this is a testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And that may be a no-brainer for a church to know that that's going to guide us in the next season. That might be the carry that you carry with you all the time. It might be the weapon that you have with you all the time. But I'm sure that God's going to use us to advance the gospel in our families and in our community, in our country, and our world. I am sure that God is going to use us to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us. I am sure that he's going to amp us up on that. I am sure that he's going to put it on our hands and in our hearts. I am sure that people are going to come to Jesus because this body of believers is knowing that we're going to hang on to the truth that if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son of God, you do not have life. Do I have all the methodology to that, all the road laid out to that? I don't know. No. But we'll learn where God's going to do that. We're going to learn how he's going to do that in our lives. We're going to be gospel sharers. You ever binge watch anything like on Netflix or anything? All of a sudden it just goes to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. To be honest, I was binge watching on my computer yesterday. And I started to watch, and then it went to the next one, and I couldn't get away from it. And it went to the next one, and I couldn't get away from it. And for a couple hours, at least a couple hours, I binged watch. I binged watched Billy Graham preaching. I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't. I watched one. I watched from 1983. I watched from 1971. I watched from 1965. Another 1971. I was watching a man of God stand before thousands and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I watched people respond to the gospel. I watched him respond to Jesus. And then I watched him say, yeah, I'm gonna proclaim to thousands today. And then he looked into the camera as if he was looking at me in 1965. I wasn't even born yet. And I could feel him looking at me. And he said, and you will reach the one. And you, and he started to go around, and you will reach, and you will reach, and you will reach. And I knew that God was talking to me. And I knew that he was saying something to me. And you are going to reach somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to hold on to my truth. Make sure you don't let go of the gospel. The gospel is what's going to change this world. We need more Jesus in this world. We need more Jesus in our hearts. And God said, I'm going to take you. And maybe this doesn't seem odd to you. And it doesn't really seem odd to me. But I'm waiting for God to know how he's going to amp that up in our lives. I think we're going to expect that we're going to reach the masses and we're going to reach the one. I don't know what all that looks like yet, but hang on, 2020. You're not going to be remembered for the coronavirus. You're going to be remembered for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will not surrender. I will not surrender 2020. To the coronavirus. It will not stop me. And it will not stop us. Somebody shared the gospel with me and somebody shared it with you. And we're going to return the call on our lives. And we're going to share the gospel with many, many people. We are going to be evangelists, the ones who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Hang on, New Life. And if you're here for a season, and your church opens back up in another couple of weeks, and you go back there, the charge is on you as well. The charge is on you as if this day God invited you and you responded to his call for a reason. And the charge is on you. And you will reach. I don't think we can let go of this. This is it. This is the season that we're going to see. We're going to see the masses come to Christ, and it's going to be one by one. Not me preaching to the thousands. But it's us preaching to the one. As God opens up doors, we're going to let the gospel of Jesus Christ go forth. And I could go on and on and on. I want to go on and on and on about the evangelist, about the proclamation of the gospel. And God says, hang on. You think you got it all together? Wait till the end of the year. Wait to see what I'm going to do. But if you're my disciple, you got to hang on to the truth. And you ask what truth, and I'm giving you what truth. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The second passage that God laid on my heart is this. Not only laid on my heart, but laid open in my Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says this, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. And I know that my computer program that I typed this into kept underlining the end word there, the perseverance. I said, what in the world don't you understand about that word? Come on, what you don't understand? They always want to put a question mark at the end of it. I'm like, there's no question about that. So every time I get into my document, I went to that passage, ignore, because there's no question. We're going deeper with Jesus. We're going deeper into the love of God. He said, I want you to go deep. You're wondering what you want to speak over your children as they sleep, as you're going to bed. This passage of Scripture is great. Just tell them, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love, into Christ's perseverance. May you have. He said, I need you to hang on to that because you're going to carry the gospel into this world individually and maybe by the masses, but you're going to carry this gospel into this world. But you got to go deeper into the love of Christ. You got to go deeper into God's love. I said, God, I'm walking with you. And he said, no, deeper. Deeper. I'm walking with you, God. I've been walking with you since 1996. Here's my testimony. Yeah, I know. I was there. You need to go deeper. You need to go deeper. And not only need a deeper of the love of God, but you got to go deeper in the perseverance of Christ. You got to go deeper in that perseverance because it might get challenging. And you got to be persevering. You got to persevere. You got to go deep in God's love, but you got to go deep in the perseverance of Christ. Literally, I don't ever remember reading this verse. And I know I have because for my ordination, I had to read through the Bible in a couple of different translations. But this past couple of weeks, it's leaped off the pages and gripped my heart. He said, you're going to tell, and you're going to have the gospel, and it's going to go forth. And you're going to go deeper in the love of God. And you're going to go deeper in the perseverance of Christ. Because where I'm taking you, you're going to need deeper. You need deeper and deeper and deeper. A song that I come across this week, it's just really impact. I never heard this song. It's just saying it's sung by a group of people. It's called People and Songs. Ryan Kennedy and Melanie Slay. And perhaps when we're worshiping again, maybe I'll ask Tobin and David to really get a hold of this song so we can sing it and we can proclaim it. But listen, it says this, deeper, deeper still. Holy Spirit, take my hand now. Lead me into the living waters. You're the wellspring. You're the stirring. You're the wellspring. You're the stirring. You're the life for your sons and your daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now. Sing it out loud. Come and give the Lord his glory. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still into your love. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. As I listened to that song, I felt my heart just wanting and longing for that deepness. I want to go deeper, God. I want to go deeper, deeper still, God. I want to go deeper in your love, and I want to go deeper in the perseverance of Christ. And the song goes on to say, you're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, into your love. And then verse 2 says this, eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now. Sing it out loud. Lift your hands. Give the Lord his glory. There's freedom in the water. There's freedom in the depth of Christ. There's freedom in the depth of his love. There's healing in the deep. There's healing in the water. Oh, Jesus, you're the river. You are the river. And we'll never find the end. There's freedom in the water. There's healing in the water. Oh, Jesus, you're the river. And we will never find the end. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. I don't know where that's going to take us, but I'm hanging on to that. I'm going to hold on to that truth. I'm not hunting halfway up the mountain. I'm going to the top. So I'm taking you deeper, deeper still. And the third comes out of Isaiah 41, 12 through 16. This is the one that may surprise me. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh your Elohim, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob. O little Israel. What he's saying is, don't be afraid how big or small you think you are. Oh, worm. Oh, little. I got nothing, God. And that's what Israel is saying. We don't have any. We're so small, God. How are we going to do what you've called us to do? How are we going to go? And he said, wait a minute. You got the gospel and you got deeper, deeper. You're going to go deeper and watch what I can do in your life. New lifers, we're going here. And to be honest, it'll scare some of us. And the some of us might be on this trailer today. But just because I don't understand all that God has for me, and just because it might scare me a little bit to where God's taken me, and taking us, I refuse to let go of this scripture. I refuse to let go of the truth. Because he says if you hang on to the truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's going to make us feel uncomfortable because we feel small at times. And because I feel weak at times. And because I feel so small, God. Don't you know what's going on in my life? And some of you may know and some of you may not, but I've been through a season where I have pulmonary emboli, which means blood clots in your lungs. You know what's supposed to be in your lungs? Air! You know what happens when it gets filled up with blood clots? There's no air! I'm feeling that. I feel that over the last 3 or 4 months. I felt that. God, what are you doing? I can't breathe. And he's had me on a journey, and I felt so small, and I felt so inadequate, and I felt so unable to move. I couldn't even pick up thermophores. But he's used that season of my life to understand that it's not about me. It's about him. You are little. You are small. And it's only because God loves me so much that he says, you're a worm. But do not fear. I am with you. Because why? Because you're going deeper with me. Well, this one happens. Hang on. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, and O little Israel. For I myself will help you, declares Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 15 says this, see, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. Woo! He said, you see what I'm going to do in your life? You're going to eat mountains. Verse 16 says, you will winnow them and pick them up. The wind will pick them up and the gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and the glory of the Holy One of Israel. He said there's going to be mountains in front of you, and you are going to destroy the mountains. The mountains represent the kingdoms of darkness. The kingdoms of darkness. He said the hills are the kingdoms that are hiding behind the mountains. He said not only will you deal with the mountains, but you're going to deal with the hills. When the mountains are gone, you're going to find the hills of the injustice, of the kingdom of darkness. You're going to have new teeth. You will not stop with mountains, but you will finish the battle with leveling the hills as well. I don't know about you, but that really gives me some concern. God, what do you mean by that? Where are you going to lead me? Where are you going to lead us? He said, I'm going to use you, new life. I'm going to use you to sludge the mountains. I'm going to use you to do battle against the kingdom of darkness. I'm going to use you to do battle against the kingdom of darkness, the mountains. And when you deal with the mountains, I'm going to use you to deal with the hills. And you're going to level mountains, and you're going to level hills. You're going to have new teeth, and you're going to have sharp teeth, and you're going to have many teeth. You will be a mountain eater, and you will expose and level the hills. You will confront sin, evil, immorality, what is wrecking people, families, and communities. You will deal with them. You will expose them. You will destroy the paths that are leading people to destruction. You will make new ways. You will give freedom. You will deal with the mountain streams that are spewing poison water into our communities. To be honest, again, when I read that passage of Scripture, and I know that God gave me that, He said, I'm going to use you. And I'm going to give you new teeth. And I'm going to give you many teeth. I know you're weak. I know you don't have much. I know you're a worm. But I also know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim. A statistic that came across my desk this week. Do you know that there are 6,400 children in Blair County that are living with a parent that's either addicted to alcohol or drugs today? 6,400 children. We're going to do something about that. I'm not sure what it is yet. But if you're a drug dealer and you're watching this online, I'm declaring war on you. We will help the people that are in addiction. I'm going after the drug dealers in this county. I will wage war on them. I will buy your house that you're selling drugs out of right now. And I will refurbish that house. And I will give it to a single mom that so desperately needs it. We're going to wage war on the wickedness. On the sin. I'm not there yet. New life, here we go. I got to leave it there. He said, hang on to this. The gospel you're going to carry. You need to go deeper with me in love and perseverance. And I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. To level the mountains and the hills. I'm going to use you to fight sin and wickedness and evilness. I'm going to use you to do battle with what this earth is battling with. I'm going to give you new teeth, new life. I'm going to give you a lot of teeth. I don't know where it's taking me, and I don't know where it's going to take
people
you.
People across America trust Nutrisystem because we deliver your.
But I, for one, and I'll end with this, I, for one, refuse to let go of these passages of Scripture that God has given me. The gospel, the deeper life, and battle. That's what will describe us in 2020. Let me pray today. Father God, thank you for these moments together. And Father, I just got to be honest. I want to go. Father, I think you renewed a truth in me this week, these past couple of weeks. And I think you've deepened my walk with you this week. God, I do believe that you're an awesome God. I do believe that you reign from heaven above. And I do believe that I am a worm and I am weak. And I do believe that Yahweh is my Elohim. Father, once again, I say thank you for these moments together. Yahweh, thank you for being my Elohim, my El Shaddai, my Adonai, my Jehovah God. Unleash us to go deeper with you. Unleash us with the gospel in our hands. And unleash us to do battle against the evil. Running our families, our lives, our families, our community into the ground. Help us to level mountains, level hills, as we go forth in this year. In Jesus. Have a great day, New Lifers.